Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Friday. Or as I like to say, happy Fri-yay. It is February 16, 2018. And I am so honored that you've allowed us to be a part of your Friday afternoon to close out your week. This will be the most entertaining hour of your day. That is, unless you're going to see Black Panther later on tonight. Welcome to the show, though. We've got a great one for you. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about the shakeup in the Big Ten men's college basketball standings. I don't know if you guys saw what happened last night. No, I'm not talking about Michigan State. No, I'm not talking about the University of Michigan. I am talking about two upsets that happened in the Big Ten Conference, which now puts the Michigan State men's basketball team in prime position to possibly win a Big Ten regular season championship. So, we'll talk about those two upsets. Also, you know what? You know, I was at the gym pretty late last night, as I usually am. You guys know I'm a stickler when it comes to the gym, and I don't like going during the day because it's overly crowded. You know, when you're trying to get your bench on, somebody's already using the bench, and you have to wait, and then somebody else is right behind that individual. I just hate waiting on the equipment. So I go late at night when no one's there but just me and the weights. So I'm sitting there working out, right? And I get a notification on my cell phone from ESPN, noting a story concerning a certain walk-on Michigan State men's basketball player. It was reported by Paula Levine that this certain player is under investigation for possible sexual assault. But as I, you know, when I saw the story, I'm sitting there saying, okay, here we go. Another story, another negative story that does not look good for Michigan State in any way, shape, or form. And I was tempted. I was really tempted to post it on our Facebook page, to put it on my Instagram, tweet it out. But again, as a good journalist should, read the story, look at the facts, and then make a decision from there. So I began to read the story from Paula Levine, and I've got a few problems with it. And those problems led me not to post it anywhere. And I'll comb through those problems in just a moment. Because now I feel like, I've noted this on the air when it comes to ESPN and the whole outside the lines framing, not pertaining to Larry Nassar. That's a separate thing. But pertaining to the E60 reports centered on MSU men's basketball and MSU football. I noted how I did not like how they put Tom Izzo, Mark D'Antonio on the same graphic alongside Larry Nassar. And I have felt like ESPN now, again, is responsible. Well, I should say is irresponsible when it comes to some of its reporting. Yesterday, when I combed through that report, I'm going to comb through it and tell you what problems I have with it. Because there are a lot of holes in it, folks. I don't think that report from Paula Levine would pass the Journalism 418 class down the hall. So we'll talk about that report. We will also welcome live here in Studio S, my man 50 Grand, former Michigan State Rose Bowl great,
the bodyguard for the great Lorenzo White, Mr. James Moore, will join us live here in studio to check up. And James has some thoughts, and he has been chomping at the bit to get on our airwaves. He has some thoughts on the ESPN reporting. Also, our very own Scott Pohl. He has been following today's Board of Trustees meeting. You will get to hear a few interesting tidbits from that meeting. And you'll also get to hear from MSU Interim President John Engler, who spoke to the media in a media scrum after the meeting. And he commented on the ESPN Outside the Lines report. You'll get to hear what John Engler had to say. And then on the back end of the show, we'll try to usher you into the weekend on a positive note by hitting you with Reflection Friday, and we'll talk about NBA All-Star Weekend out in beautiful Los Angeles, California. So as you see, our plate runneth over. If you would like to join us here on our airwaves and let your voice be heard, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We, of course, have our Facebook live stream up and running at facebook.com/currentsports. Comment below the video. I'll do my best to get to your comments. You can also even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, I first want to start by giving a huge congratulations to the Pomona Westphalia girls basketball team. Undefeated on the year, the undefeated Pirates, 18-0, 14-0 in conference in the CMAC, show their experience under pressure as they cruise to the CMAC title with a victory over Langsburg, the final 44-20 last night. Very impressive stuff, folks. And caught some of the highlights on the local news from that game last night. And Pomona Westphalia now has two regular season games remaining against CMAC opponents as it hopes to complete the regular season undefeated. The Pirates were led in scoring last night by Emily Spitzley. She is a senior, a fantastic senior. I've been covering her since she was a highly touted freshman. She is a fun player to watch. PW was led by Spitzley, who had 13 points last night, and Spitzley also nailed 3 three-pointers in the second half. So congratulations to the Pomona Westphalia girls basketball team. I'm excited about where they could go and how far they could go, I should say, as the season rolls along here. All right, did you catch this? The Michigan State men's basketball team didn't have to do really well, they didn't do anything last night. However, with that being said, they were still able to move up into a tie for first place in the Big Ten men's college basketball standings. How were they able to do that, you ask? Well, there were two big upsets in the Big Ten. And now, technically, you know, when you look at the standings, Michigan State is tied for first with Ohio State. But Ohio State does still own the tiebreaker in the Big Ten Conference. We saw Ohio State fall to Penn State last night. That led to a rushing of the court. That was pretty remarkable. And also, how about Wisconsin on a night where they honored Frank the Tank, Frank Kaminsky? We saw Wisconsin knock off the Purdue Boilermakers, who have now lost 3 straight games. How insane is that, right? Nobody saw that coming for the Purdue Boilermakers. So right now, Michigan State, Ohio State, both at 13-2 overall. Michigan State men's basketball, of course, will resume action tomorrow on the road against Northwestern. That will be an afternoon tip time of, I believe, 2 p.m. And a big game. Now, I know Spartan fans, you may not want to do this, but you may want to root. Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this. You may want to root for in-state rival Michigan to knock off Ohio State if you want that sole possession of first place in the Big Ten Conference. I know. Ugh. You just cringed as I said that. Ugh. You probably just turned the dial. Don't turn that dial. I'm just saying. In all reality, if the University of Michigan does knock off Ohio State, your Spartans could be numero uno in the Big Ten Conference. I'll elaborate more on that in just a moment. Former Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis broke his silence with an email on Tuesday to MSU's athletic department staff that was critical of reporting by ESPN. The email, which was forwarded to multiple media outlets, had a header, quote, "Thank you." Hollis, who announced his retirement on January 26th, about 2 hours before ESPN published a story examining MSU's handling of allegations of sexual assault and violence against women in its football and men's basketball programs, wrote, quote, "They were inaccurate, incomplete, and misleading statements made and then reported by ESPN." Moving along, the ESPN story cited Hollis's role in the aftermath of an alleged 2010 sexual assault involving Travis Walton, who was a student assistant coach at the time, and two unnamed players. The network said Hollis and Alan Haller, MSU's senior associate athletic director and athletic department chief of staff, reportedly met with MSU basketball coaches and players to discuss the allegations, quote, several weeks, end quote, after the woman and her family brought them to Hollis's attention. No police report was filed and no one reported the alleged assault to the Title IX office, according to ESPN. And again, it was a breaking story late last night. Paula Levine of ESPN's Outside the Lines reporting that a certain Michigan State walk-on freshman is under investigation for sexual assault. I'm going to comb through that story in just a moment. Don't touch that dial. Top-ranked Notre Dame. That's right, Notre Dame hockey returns to action this weekend with another Friday-Sunday home-and-home series against the University of Michigan. This is a big weekend for U of M hockey, folks. The teams also played a Friday-Sunday home-and-home series on January 5th and 7th, with the Irish posting back-to-back 2-1 wins in their return from winter break with a 2-1 win over 6th-ranked Ohio State on February 9th. The Fighting Irish clinched first place in the Big Ten regular season standings and will have a first-round bye in the Big Ten tournament. This weekend, we will see Friday's game actually tape-delayed and broadcast at noon on Saturday on NBC Sports Chicago Plus, while Sunday evening's game will air on the Big Ten Network. The Detroit Red Wings played well for parts of last night's game, but the disparity in talent led to the predictable outcome. The Winged Wheel losing streak against the Tampa Bay Lightning extended to 11 games after a 4-1 defeat at MLI Arena. Detroit will now travel to Nashville tomorrow to take on the Nashville Predators at 8 p.m. The NBA All-Star Weekend is upon us. L.A. will be shining even brighter than usual, with the best players in the world descending on the city for 3 days of basketball and celebration, from the Rising Stars Challenge tonight. Also, the celebrity game is tonight as well. Actually, Michael B. Jordan, one of the stars of the Black Panther movie, he'll be coaching one of the teams. On Saturday, you've got the dunk contest, you've got the 3-point shootout, you've got the skills competition. Also, when it comes to skill competition, look out for Detroit Pistons big man Andre Drummond to be competing in that alongside Joel Embiid. Also, Buddy Hield will be involved in that as well. The dunk contest will feature dunkers like Victor Oladipo, Indiana's own. Victor Oladipo, now of the Indiana Pacers, went to IU, of course, was a great player there, enjoyed covering him. Having a great first half of the season. I'm looking forward to seeing Victor Oladipo go against Utah's Donovan Mitchell. DM has been great this first half as well. He's got springs that are unhuman-like. So, looking forward to Saturday night. Sunday is the game, new format. LeBron James and Steph Curry, of course, named captains of both teams. And conference didn't matter. They basically went to the old pickup ball rules and chose players, you know, from other conferences, from different teams, their same teams. It's a different format, so we'll see if that helps in the competitiveness of that game. Only time will tell, though. And also, the United States had a bit of tough luck in Pyeongchang on Thursday. Michaela Schifrin was ill and just barely failed to medal in the slalom, her best event, one day after she skied to gold in the giant slalom. Lindsay Jacobellis also fell to medal in snowboard cross. She held the lead for a bit, but placed fourth after a crazy finish. Figure skater Nathan Chen stumbled in the men's short routine and did not medal. Chen's teammate, Adam Rippon, he performed well, but also failed to make the podium. However, on a brighter note, the United States men's hockey team picked up a much-needed win to get its medal hopes back on track. And that was against in Slovakia, right? That was
correct.
Slovakia. Actually, early this morning, well after midnight, actually. So Norway currently leads the medal count with 19, followed by Germany at 15 in third place. Canada and the Netherlands are tied at 13 apiece, and the United States sits in a three-way tie for fifth with 8 medals. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it moving.
On the floor. They've already got security around trying to avoid a court storming. But the celebration is on. Some happy folks in Happy Valley. Penn State sweeps the Buckeyes. And here they come onto the floor. On January 25th, Ohio State came here hoping for revenge against the Nittany Lions, but no such luck.
Tip is good. Game over. 3 in a row in the loss column for Purdue, and the Panthers rush the floor as they honor Frank Kaminsky. Feeling if Frank was closer to the court, he'd be there too.
No, I think it's fair to say that if Frank Kaminsky could come down from his suite and get in there, he would be right in the middle. Oh, actually, you know what? Here he comes.
Yes, that is how we start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show. We are now live here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. A little Black Panther soundtrack playing in the background, intermixed with, of course, two upsets that have shaken the Big Ten men's college basketball world. Good for Michigan State. Michigan State, isn't that how life should be, right? You just chillax. Just chillax. Sit on your couch. Do nothing. Be lazy. And then you just automatically get elevated due to crazy circumstances. Wouldn't life be great if that happened? Well, no, you got to work for it. But Michigan State didn't have to do that last night because, gosh, they chilled, did not have a game. They had practice in the afternoon, and now the Michigan State men's basketball team finds itself tied atop the conference. Now, technically, Ohio State does own the tiebreaker, but with that being said, Michigan State 13-2 in the Big Ten Conference. Ohio State 13-2 in the Big Ten Conference. Purdue right behind OSU and MSU at 12-3. The Spartans with a win tomorrow on the road at Northwestern will own the top spot in the Big Ten. Wow, how about that? In a huge game for Ohio State against Michigan at the Chrysler Center this Sunday afternoon. And Spartan fans, I know. I get it. I graduated from Michigan State. I'm an MSU alum. Yeah, I try to stay as non-biased as I can here at WKAR. But man, if you want to pull out a possible outright Big Ten championship, you have to root for the Michigan Wolverines this Sunday. How crazy is that? Because if Michigan beats Ohio State, then you have a two-game edge in the conference. Crazy stuff. But you know what? Before I get to that, I got to get something off my chest. Because as you guys heard at the top of the hour, you know, I was late. You know, as I usually am, I was late at night working out, and I see this notification on my phone from my ESPN app notifying me that yet another negative story has broken concerning Michigan State athletics. Paula Levine of ESPN, she reported that a member of Michigan State's men's basketball team has been under investigation for criminal sexual conduct since the start of the fall semester. Ingham County, Michigan prosecutors are in the process of determining whether, now pay attention closely here, Ingham County, Michigan prosecutors are in the process of determining whether formal charges should be filed against the player. The article goes on to read, quote, freshman guard Brock Washington. I want to pause right there. I'm going to read that sentence one more time. Ingham County, Michigan prosecutors are in the process of determining whether formal charges should be filed against the player, freshman guard Brock Washington. Ian Hawley, just real briefly, Ian Hawley, current sports engineer. As I read that sentence twice, is there a problem there that you notice? I'm just curious.
It's pretty glaring when you look at it from a journalistic standpoint. So the problem that I see is the guy hasn't even been formally accused yet, and they're already putting his name in the paper.
Well, not formally accused, formally charged.
Or formally charged, sorry.
That's the key. That's the key. How long did we have to wait before naming Donnie Corley, Demetric Vance, Josh King, heck, and even Austin Robertson in his separate sexual assault case when it comes to Michigan State football? How long? Heck, I got to be real with you guys. I knew the names. Most local journalists here knew the names well before they formally came out. But you know why we sat on those names? Because those individuals were not formally charged yet. Yet Paula Levine of ESPN has decided to name freshman guard Brock Washington, and the young man has not even been charged. If that isn't journalistic irresponsibility, I don't know what is. They teach us that here at the Michigan State School of Journalism, Ian.
That's one of the main tenets of journalism that you learn in Journalism 108, the introductory level class.
So you know what I said to myself after reading this? I'm benching and I'm combing through this story because I was very close to posting it. I'm sitting there saying, oh, well, here's another one. I gotta put it out there, right? Gotta put it on our Facebook page. Let me tweet it out. Let me put it on my Instagram page. But again, as I read it, I'm like, hold on, that makes no sense. And then as I keep reading here, it goes on to say Washington, a walk-on from Southfield, Michigan, is named as the lone suspect in an alleged assault that Michigan State campus police have classified as a fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct, sources told Outside the Lines. In August, a female student reported to campus police that Washington groped her without her permission, the sources told Outside the Lines. After an investigation, police on December 13th forwarded their findings to the county prosecutor's office. Details of the allegations and circumstances remain unknown. Pay attention to this snippet. A police report has not been released publicly. I'll read that sentence one more time. Details of the allegation and circumstances remain unknown. A police report has not been released publicly. Outside the Lines requested a copy of the police report through the university's public records office on February 6th. And the university responded on Wednesday with a request for a 10-day extension to answer the request. So problem number two that I have with this story. ESPN doesn't even have the police report. Yet Paula Levine and the worldwide leader decided to publish this. Outside the Lines reached out Thursday afternoon to multiple university officials in Washington for comment. None responded to calls, of course, right? Voicemails or emails. Outside the Lines also reached out to John Truscott, who was hired recently to lead the university's crisis communications efforts. Truscott, in response to a series of questions about the alleged incident and a request to release the police report, wrote in an email that he was not in position to know anything about the case. When asked whether he would provide someone at the university who could answer questions or provide a statement, he responded that, quote, I'm just saying we don't have any information at this time, but we'll certainly look into it. We don't have access to police reports, nor does the police department inform anyone of actions such as this. I don't understand the reporting here. And again, frankly, I think this is very irresponsible reporting here on behalf of ESPN, on behalf of Paula Levine. Those who have been tuning in to Current Sports know that I have said, one, we need to let these investigations play out before assuming anything, before making any bold statements concerning the jobs of Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo. When you watch the ESPN E60 reports, are there a lot of questions that need to be answered? Without a doubt. But we have to enact patience here. Patience is a virtue. Let it play out and let's see who knew what, when, where, and how it happened before making these bold witch hunt statements. But now I see this report, and I can't help. I don't know how anybody can help but read this and say to themselves, ESPN is just out to get MSU at this point. Because there are multiple holes in this story. One, you don't name, because you know what that does to somebody's reputation who has not been formally charged with something as heinous, as criminal, sexual assault? Someone who hasn't been charged with their name just tagged to the story alone, what that does to their reputation? Brock Washington hasn't been charged, yet he's named in this report. That is irresponsible journalism. ESPN, you filed the FOIA request for the police report. You haven't even gotten it back yet. But yet you decide to publish this piece of work. I don't know. I don't get it. I have a lot of problems with this. And I think what also speaks to this dialogue that I'm spewing out right now is the fact that the Detroit Free Press hasn't reported on this. The Detroit News hasn't reported on this. MLive hasn't reported on this. Us here at WKAR, we haven't reported on this. There's a reason why. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But before we hit this first break in, what I want to do is our very own, if I can find the paper, our very own Scott Pohl just walked in, and he gave me a lead-in and everything. You know what? I don't have the lead-in. I had it. It must have fell on the floor somewhere. James Moore is passing me some stuff. Nope, that's all old. Oh, I got it. I found it. Never mind. Live radio, folks. Fun. I want to play a snippet from MSU president, interim president, John Engler. One of the actions taken today by the Michigan State Board of Trustees during a meeting was to approve the annual rollover of Mark D'Antonio's, Mark D'Antonio, of course, head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio's contract to coach the football team. He now is under contract through January 14th of 2024. After the meeting, interim MSU president John Engler spoke with reporters about D'Antonio's contract, but he began by discussing the ESPN Outside the Lines report on a criminal sexual conduct investigation of Brock Washington, who has been named in this report from Paula Levine. Here is what MSU interim president John Engler had to say.
Well, there was a leaked report that ESPN reported on, but I think, unfortunately, like their other reporting, it's incomplete.
Do you think the statement is true? Do you think the freshman assaulted? Were those claims true?
Well, I believe that's subject to an investigation. You'd have to ask the people that are involved. The privacy laws prevent me from even saying what I might like to say, would be helpful to say. And that's one of the difficulties in dealing with this. A reporter can take something that's leaked, put her spin on it, and run with it, especially, you know, from a news media that's frankly struggling. I mean, it's a great way to be sensationalistic, and then I'm barred from saying what I might know, but I would talk to the people who've been directly involved. The sad thing is, and I think we should, probably as a Michigan State community, apologize to this young man and his family who's been named without, at least in that report, any evidence of any wrongdoing. There was a report of allegations, but let's say at the end of the day, there's nothing there. Where does he go? I mean, a lot of people now read this and said, well, what went on with you? His name should not have been public because of the pendency of whatever investigation might still be going on.
Is the MSU Police Department required to notify officials on campus when a sexual assault report comes based on that 2000?
There's differences in the, I mean, one of the problems is, and I won't try to get into all of the subtleties of this, but there's different legal approaches that are imposed upon the office, the Title IX office, and the police department. And I think it would be a good story to kind of actually walk through side by side what, who can say what, just so the public understands, because what you end up is just getting very blurred because of the, if a reporter has an agenda, and we've got one who does, you can cherry pick your facts to write a fanciful tale and leave an impression, even if you read carefully, is nothing is ever really said.
Why do you feel renewing D'Antonio's contract right now is the right choice?
It's an extension of the contract. It is an ongoing annual extension. He's one of the most honorable coaches, I think, in the country. And if you look at, just take in 2017, if you want a textbook example for the NCAA to use around America, according to the laws and the rules that are in place, and I would say nationally, but certainly here, that was a textbook handling of a very difficult situation. It is exactly what you're supposed to do. Police were brought in, investigations conducted. In this case, because the finding was adverse, players dismissed. Well, they still have a court date ahead, so there may be something that happens there. We don't know, but textbook And that's a great tribute to him, because that's the kind of man he is. That's the integrity that he has. Thank you very much. Great day.
MSU interim president John Engler speaking to reporters after today's Michigan State Board of Trustees meeting. One of the agenda items was to roll over Mark D'Antonio's contract to coach the Michigan State football team. He is now under contract through January 14th of 2024. This is something they always do. That wasn't breaking news there. But John Engler speaking to reporters concerning the latest report. I don't even know if you can call it that, but the latest report from ESPN's Paula Levine naming Brock Washington, Michigan State men's basketball freshman, naming him in an alleged sexual assault situation where the investigation is still pending. Irresponsible. And you heard Engler speak in that very same tone. And he even went as far as to say, you know, Paula Levine, a reporter that he was referring to, and Paula Levine, a reporter that has a, quote, agenda. I agree, because that's what it looks like right now. It really does. Thoughts, comments, calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. My iPad died, so now I'm running it through my through my cell phone. Technology, man. Technology. So the live stream is up and running there. Many of you are already commenting below that video. You can also join the conversation via Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with our dear friend, Michigan State football legend, the great James Moore, live here in Studio West. That chat and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Before we dive into this latest report from ESPN, from Paula Levine, and we've been highlighting that in segment A, and I want to get the thoughts of James Moore, Michigan State football great, member of the 1988 MSU Rose Bowl team. Again, I want to open our phone lines. Again, you can call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And I do want to address basketball here. And I want to acknowledge what happened last night when it comes to Michigan State, as they didn't have to do anything. They didn't have a game at all. And yet they now find themselves tied atop the Big Ten along with Ohio State. Again, Ohio State technically does have the tiebreaker, seeing as though they did beat Michigan State, as Keita Bates-Diop, who I think is the Big Ten Conference's Big Ten Player of the Year. Keita Bates-Diop just absolutely went off that game. But 13-2, MSU and OSU, we saw Purdue fall in an upset against Wisconsin last night. And we also saw Ohio State get beaten by Penn State last night. And don't sleep on Penn State. Do not sleep on Penn State. That is a team that, depending on how they finish out the year, again, they've won. They're the hottest team other than Michigan State in the Big Ten Conference. They are winners of four straight games right now, trending up. We'll see how they finish out the year. But it'll be intriguing if they can finish off strong and maybe finish off, you know, hot come Big Ten tournament time out at Madison Square Garden in NYC, and possibly make a case that they deserve to be in the tournament. But right now, MSU, OSU, Purdue, Nebraska, and Michigan are in that conversation when it comes to Big Ten teams making the NCAA tournament. Real quick, thoughts in as Michigan State plays Northwestern on the road tomorrow. Pretty good night for Michigan State, even though they didn't even play, right?
Yeah, exactly. Michigan State had a lot of help from Penn State and Wisconsin last night. Now it's up to them to take care of business on the road at Northwestern. So we'll see if it's the struggling road team that we've seen for most of the past two seasons, or we'll see if they play like they did in their last game and win by a sizable margin.
Yeah, and I think when you watch, again, now Minnesota is beaten up. This is a totally different team from what we thought was going to be at come the very beginning of the year. But with a 30-point win over Minnesota at the Barn, not an easy place to play. Jaren Jackson Jr. goes off for 27. And, again, arguably the best player on the team, Miles Bridges, he only has 5 points, yet they blow out Minnesota on the road by 30. Hopefully Michigan State continues to handle business on the road against lowly competition. So we'll see. Right now, I want to get to my man, 50 grand, James Moore, former Michigan State fullback, great, and member of the 1988 Rose Bowl Championship team. He is also the author of a former segment here on Current Sports entitled The Swap Meet. It's always good seeing James Moore live here in Studio S. I know you are chomping at the bit to get some things off your chest. But first off, happy Friday, James.
Thank you, sir. Hey, it's always a pleasure, man. I missed you. I haven't seen you in a while. I've been, you know, we've been texting back and forth. It's just a pleasure to sit across from you as usual. And
definitely
be back here on Current Sports.
Always good seeing your smiling face, James.
Sir.
So first off, what I want to do is allow you, because we've been texting and we talked on the phone, you know, these past few weeks concerning what has been reported from ESPN, the ESPN outside the lines in the you know, that conversation concerning Larry Nassar and his sentencing. And then we, of course, had the ESPN E60 pieces centered on Michigan State football and MSU men's basketball. I just want to kind of give you the forum right now to just get anything off your chest concerning those reports and concerning just the state of Michigan State University here on this February 16th, because there is no doubt about it, a pretty dark cloud hovering over this university.
Of course. First of all, let me start off by saying, you know, my prayers and condolences and everything goes out to the victims, you know, mm-hmm. of Larry. And my condolences and my prayers go out to all the Spartan Nation, because that right there really, you know, put a damper, a cloud, a black cloud over the Spartans. But my thing is, what does that have to do with football and basketball and the athletes here at Michigan State? It's sad. It's sad. And me being a former athlete here, I know D'Antonio. I know how George, Nick, all of those coaches were. When we had a situation that popped off as serious as this, you're done. You're done. Just like with D'Antonio with the four young men. Okay? They're done. And letting the legal process handle it. No sweeping under the rug. No hiding nothing. Because it's serious. And that's what they're all about. That's what Coach Izzo's about. That's what Coach D'Antonio's about. They're about producing not NBA athletes, not NBA stars, not NFL stars. They're about creating young men. Good men for society. And that's what it's about. They're not about, football is a game. Football, basketball is a sport. That ends. That ends. All right? You're done. You're one play away from ending your career. What they focus on is making men good, productive citizens that are being able to go out and work and provide for their families. And it just bothers me. It all just, I'm cringing right now. You see it in my face. We talked about it. We've talked about it. Why is all this stuff coming out about the athletes? Why are we being brought into the Larry Nassar? Yes, some of our athletes have made mistakes. Yes, they have. Granted. But what does that got to do with some of the athletes that are here now? It's driving me nuts.
Did you have a problem with anything that was reported in the ESPN E60 piece, because you know it detailed, you know, 16 cases of sexual misconduct when it comes to MSU football, and it questioned whether or not D'Antonio handled those the right way. Then it brought up, of course, the four football players who were charged with sexual misconduct. Did you have any problem with what ESPN reported?
I have a problem with that whole piece.
What specifically?
What does it have to do with our athletes? Why? Why are they being brought into it? Why? I mean,
the athletes who haven't been involved in anything.
They haven't been involved in anything. The ones that have been are no longer with our program at all. Okay? It's a witch hunt. That's exactly what with this Paula Levine. It's the same thing. You're just reaching and grabbing and trying to pull anything and everything in.
Question, James. When you were a player for the Michigan State football program back in the 80s, because you hear this word thrown around a lot, the culture of the locker room. The culture. What is the culture of the locker room, you know? And I have to ask you, you know, back then, when it comes to athletes and how they operate away from the gridiron in social atmospheres in relation to the opposite sex, we've seen far too often a lot of college athletes put themselves in bad positions.
Yeah.
And do things that are not of high value moral character. When you were an athlete, did you see anything go on when it came to maybe your teammates or other players that you knew when it comes to not behaving the right way in social atmospheres when it comes to the opposite sex? Is there a cultural problem when it comes to locker rooms in college athletics?
I can honestly say I did not see it. But then again, too, I didn't put myself in those positions to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I have to say, I didn't see it. I didn't witness it because I wouldn't tolerate it. I'm one that, being born and raised here in Lansing, grandmother was the president of Lansing School District. My morals, my values, I respected women. And that's what it's all about. And I have to say, my guys, my teammates, we were too scared of the consequences. That's what the problem is. There's no fear now. We had fear. We feared our parents and didn't want to let them down. Didn't want to, you know, have them in the spotlight because we were in the spotlight. We're athletes. They put us on that pedestal. So when they put us on that pedestal, we have to walk that walk because everything we do is going to be blowed out, be it good, be it bad.
And you know, we kind of heard the same thing. We had Craig Evans on the show. Craig was kicked off the Michigan State football team a few years ago. Mm-hmm. He's a defensive lineman now, and he's now at Oregon State. But he was kicked off by Coach D'Antonio, and Craig noted how he was kicked off for smoking weed. He couldn't get off the marijuana. And he noted, and he still has Mark D'Antonio's back because he said, if Mark D'Antonio kicked me off from marijuana, you'd think he was tolerating anything that had to do with sexual assault. So that's the point that he really hammered home. But you see these stories happen a lot in college athletics. I mean, I could bring up, you know, what happened out in Baylor, right? I can bring up student athletes just about every across the nation.
Yeah,
right.
Everywhere.
So I want to ask this. I mean, you're a motivational speaker. When you're speaking to young athletes at any level, the culture, the sexual culture that we live in today, how do you get through today's young man who is in the public eye, who may be a highly touted recruit, who has the world at his feet? How do you get through them when it comes to how to operate in today's over-sexualized environment? When it comes to going to a college campus, yep, and knowing how to operate, you know, when it comes to the opposite sex, how to be chivalrous. Is it hard? Is that challenging for you?
It's very challenging because our kids nowadays are different. They're the millennials. You know, they're into the tweeting, the Facebook, the social media. Okay. And that's one thing that we have to understand and continue to pound into their head. When you tweet something, when you Facebook something, when you say stuff on social media, it's there. You think you can delete it, but it's there. And it follows you. Follows you for life. And these kids are not understanding that because it's all cute, it's all fun. No, no. And the thing about it is we have to come together as a community together. You, myself, the coaches, the teachers, our parents, We have to come together and try and continue to just pound in their heads the severity of what's going on out there. I mean, you know, I'm dealing with my son. Okay, it's our kids are being lost right now. They're just being caught up in this social media web, and it's just dragging them in deeper and deeper. And then when you talk about athletes, they're already on that pedestal. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help none with the social media. Be it good, be it bad. It doesn't help. Let's keep it real with them and let them know you got to make good choices, because there are consequences to good choices and there's consequences to bad choices. And right now, they're going down that bad choices.
And you being a father, and you mentioned your son, and I remember when you opened up. For those that don't know about it, because I know you opened up during the swap meet, actually about your son. What happened there, James?
My son made a choice. He was out in Meridian Township, him and his cousin, you know, involved in some things they shouldn't have been involved in. Seen a guy, Asian guy, stuck him up, took him in the house, had weapons, stuck him up, took him in the house. Girlfriend's upstairs, calls 911, roommate, girlfriend, I don't know what it was, leaves the phone line open. Long story short, he was looking at 20 to 25 years in prison. Never got a parking ticket. Never. Good kid. Well, I mean, I say he's my son, of course I'm going to say, but no, this clean cut, never nothing. I asked him to do something, he'll do it. Made a bad choice.
One bad decision.
One bad decision is costing him 7 years of his life. 7 years. Trust me, it's tough being a parent nowadays. But guess what? We got to step up. We're losing too many kids. And then especially when they get to college, come on. We got to make some changes. And this ESPN stuff, all of this is dragging our athletes into it. Totally irresponsible.
So what you're hammering home, James, is that, you know, when it comes to this report, I mean, there are great student athletes here at Michigan State, and we know that, and the fact that through this reporting, those student athletes are being lumped into just this big pot of negative publicity. It's not fair to them, and that's the thing. I mean, we've seen this when it comes to. And that's why it's quite remarkable when watching, you know, the Michigan State men's basketball team right now.
How they're focused.
There's a lot of negative energy around this team.
Yeah.
And we've talked to these athletes after games and at practice about how they're dealing with all of this negativeness away from the Breslin. And they basically said, look, man, we've had discussions about it. And players like Cassius Winston, I've heard this a lot when it comes to Cassius. Cassius has said, you know, basically, hey, man, let's use this as motivation. Let's band together and let's just go out there and handle business and really just make basketball your safe haven, right? Make it your getaway. So because there's a lot of great, I mean, Miles Bridges, Cassius, Tom. I mean, I could go on and on and on about, you know, this team. But, you know, unfairly, you know, now they're being lumped into this story. So right now, James, and when you look at everything that's happened, I mean, Luana K. Simon steps down. Mark Hollis is now gone from the program. I mentioned his email at the very beginning of the show. I mean, how do you put in perspective what has happened these last few weeks?
The two people that were in charge are no longer here. Let's start the healing process. Let's move forward as Spartan Nation and get back the pride, the values, the morals that we have that hasn't gone nowhere. But the two are gone that were in charge, quote unquote, because, you know, crap rolls downhill. Okay? The president's gone. The athletic director's gone. And I keep them in prayer, too, because, you know, they have families that they have to provide for, too. Let's start moving forward. And healing, because it's a lot of victims out there. And it's all about moving forward, not looking back. Like I always say, Joel Osteen, he say, that front view mirror when you're driving, when you start looking in that rear view mirror on a regular basis, You just keep getting pulled back. So we got to move forward. And we'll get through it. D'Antonio, Izzo, they are in all my prayers, okay? Two great, great coaches, great men, great family men, great Christians. And we'll get through it. We'll get through it. We'll get through it together.
My man, James Moore, I want to end on that note. Very well said. James, one quick question here. What are you up to now, my man? I know you had a pretty decent year as assistant coach with the DeWitt Panthers under the tutelage of Rob Zimmerman now. And what are you up to now, man?
Hey, just, you know, I'm just, right now just enjoying my job working, enjoying my 3 days off every week.
That's good.
You know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Enjoying my family, my grandbabies. Just kicking back and enjoying life, man.
That's good
stuff. Just excited and ready to roll.
You checking out Black Panther this weekend?
You know what? I'm going to see my son.
Okay, that's
good.
To
see my
son.
Better. His birthday is tomorrow. He'll be 22.
Wow.
And so we're going to go up, you know, it's a five-hour drive that I got to go. We're going to go see him and spend some time with him and, you know, see him for his birthday. But I will be checking it out.
That's great. You'll be checking out one of these days,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure.
Well, happy birthday to your son, James.
Thank you, sir. And, hey, it's always a pleasure to see you. I'm glad I got to come in and chat with you about this situation. But this, too, shall pass.
I love that. James, thank you so much. Appreciate it, man. All right. Well, we have less than 2 minutes left here in the show. Ian Hawley. Are you a big – you're not a real big NBA guy, I know, but
– No, not particularly.
Right, but, you know, the NBA All-Star Weekend kicks off tonight. Some interesting events, as always. My brother – I'm crazy jealous because my brother, his birthday was this week, and he's celebrating by going to the All-Star game.
Oh, very nice.
And he'll be at all the festivities, the dunk contest, everything. He's down there right now living it up. But what are you looking forward to the most this weekend in the world of sports?
So Andre Drummond is in the skills contest. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I am looking forward to seeing Andre Drummond try and pass through the little hoops that they have, you know, like to do all that. Because, like, why is Andre – I mean, I'm sure – so Andre Drummond replaced
Kristaps Porzingis.
But why not just get another guard to take the place in the
Joel Embiid
skills competition?
Joel Embiid is in it, too. But it's fun. I think it'll be fun to see that. That's why it's entertainment, right?
Yeah, Joel Embiid is a little bit more versatile than Andre Drummond in some of those categories.
Right. I hear you, man. So you're looking forward to seeing Andre do his thing tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it'll be cool.
Okay. And even though I think that we have really hit a ceiling when it comes to the NBA's dunk contest, because how many more dunks have we not seen, right? I still want to check out Donovan Mitchell and Victor Oladipo go at it. So looking forward to the weekend. On behalf of us all here at WKAR's Current Sports, have a great one. Again, Michigan State and Northwestern tomorrow and Ohio State and Michigan on Sunday. We'll see you Monday, folks. Have a great weekend and be easy, people.